with myself, Francois, and this is Time to Decide. Now, dear listeners, thank you that you chose CCFM to keep you company tonight, and I am indeed so blessed to have two beautiful people, or four beautiful people here in the studio. It's, of course, my guests, but I'll introduce them in a minute. You might have heard earlier. You might have heard earlier when they advertised that who's on the radio with me tonight. So thank you, and I'm excited, and I'm so excited that Exuma Noble niece of Wuso or whatever. But nevertheless, we thank God for the privilege and the opportunity. Thank you that you chose CCFM to keep you company, and I'll introduce my guest in a minute or two. Just a few house rules, and that is that the WhatsApp line is 061-798-1075. If you want to send in a prayer request, start your request with the word prayer. Then you make known your prayer request. If you just want to let me know that you are tuned in, and please let me know from where you tuned in. And then, of course, that's also on the same WhatsApp line. And, well, I think that is how we're going to roll tonight. But I'm excited because I know that God's going to work miracles through the airwaves tonight, and I pray that you will indeed continue to stay tuned. Now, if you have a son or a daughter, or you know of a family member that battles with drug abuse, with substance abuse, why don't you get them to the radio to listen tonight to CCFM 107.5? Because I've got two beautiful people that came from that life, and God has changed them radically. And God is good, so good. So, stay tuned. I'm giving you an opportunity to phone, Twitter, WhatsApp, whatever means you use to communicate with your family and friends and neighbors and all, and let them know to tune into CCFM 107.5. And, yes, and if they're outside of the boundaries of the Cape, obviously it's www.ccfm.org.za. Click on the live stream button. And as you heard also, we have got the app that you can tune into. So for now, before we introduce my guest, that's CRC Music, Praise on My Lips on CCFM 107.5. And once again, thank you that you chose CCFM to keep you company. And I trust indeed you'll enjoy our company. I say our because I've got guests in the studio, as much as we enjoy the presence of the Lord here in the studio. But before I introduce my guest, let me just greet a few people that I promised I will send them a shout out. And that is Amanda van der Vent. Amanda van der Vent and your husband Leslie, of course. And also to Bianca Geschner. Yes, it was great meeting you guys this afternoon. And then also shout out to Bianca Waymans and Tesne Benjamin. Hello, Tesne and Bianca. Well, God bless you and continue to stay focused on the Lord. And now it's time for me to greet my guest and welcome them in the studio. And first on all, I would like to welcome Mr. Andrew Rietmuller. Hello, my brother.
Hi, Pastor Francois.
And welcome to CCFM.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor Elf.
Yeah, Francois, don't worry. I've
got my pastor on my mind.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. So thank you so much for having me tonight to be able to say to the listeners, greetings, listeners, in the name of Jesus.
Yes, and anybody else you want to greet?
Yes, I also want to greet my Mount Hope family, even my life group, the men. Mm-hmm. I want to greet you in the wonderful name of Jesus. To all the listeners that knows me, mm-hmm. You are greeted in the name of Jesus this evening, and may you be blessed this evening by just tuning into CCFM this evening.
And all your customers?
No. If they are listening,
you didn't bring the book with so you can read their names out. Well, welcome once again, and also to the lady Farana Rietmuller. You got to pull that thing closer to your mouth, sister.
Good evening, Pastor. Greet everyone in the wonderful name of Jesus. That name that remains highly recommended. We greet you in that wonderful name.
Okay.
Thank you for having us here tonight.
Well, it's a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to tonight. And I know there's many listeners that's listening, that's tuned in now, that are indeed excited to hear your story tonight.
Amen.
Thank you very much. So it's back to Andrew. I'm calling you Andrew.
That's all right, Pastor.
Or must I call you sir or?
No, Andrew is fine.
Andrew
is fine. Yeah.
Andrew, okay, we know where you are in your life right now, you and Farana, and you've got two beautiful boys also. You're serving the Lord. Four boys. Okay.
Yes, four boys. Yes.
And of course, you it wasn't always like that. You serve the Lord now, and I see that you've got a great passion for the things of the Lord, but it wasn't always like that. Will you tell the listeners, who's Andrew BC? A little bit about where and what, because I know that you're coming also from a life of substance and all those type of things that went with it. Will you please share with the listeners your story?
Amen, Pastor. Thank you so much for this great privilege. I take it in a high regard. Mm-hmm. Yes, my story basically begins... I was your average kid that also just desired to belong, basically. So I grew up in Mitchell's Plain Woodlands, mm-hmm. where I'm one of the sons of we got four brothers and one sister. So I am the middle child. So at the time, I was basically your average kid that went to school and all the natural things. I loved sport and all those kinds of things. But I always desired to live a life for God, but I was never granted that opportunity mm-hmm. because even in my environment where I grew up, it wasn't conducive for me to become anything because where I come from, my father, he was on drugs. He used drugs, you see, and he didn't use drugs in a sense of where he did it away from the house or stuff like that. So he basically did it in front of us. He did it like in the kitchen, wherever he wanted to do it. He did it. And to me, that was normal because I never understood, what life was, how life supposed to be lived. And, yeah. and that was the things that was introduced, to us as a family. I had a mother. She's not here anymore, but she stood the ground, basically, where she provided because my father at the time, he didn't understood the purpose of responsibility of being that father as the caregiver, being that father as the provider and as the protector. Yeah. Through his eyes, he always saw it as he was the right one at that time.
Yeah.
So I was basically a broken vessel. So for me, it was always like I never wanted to bring friends to my house because I was always afraid for the fact that they would notice the kind of life that we lived and, yes. And for me, I was very shy in that area. I never, at that time, liked girls to bring to my house because, I felt undermined. My self-esteem was broken
yeah.
at the time. So basically, I also ended up, doing drugs because I longed to be like my father because that was normal to me. That was life to me. I understood that that was how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And then at the time there was, I can remember, we tried it on high school. I was in high school and I tried it with one of my friends and I was very scared, afraid to do it at first. But the time when I did it, yeah. it felt very good. It gave you a sense of like you belong. It gave you a sense of power where you feel, I felt like I wasn't afraid anymore because of what the substance did for me. And I just wanted to do more of it because every time when I came into the environment of my home and yeah. then I felt even more like it belonged because this was normal to me.
Yeah.
So when my mother would scold at me, I could take all those arrows because I was prepared for those things because my mind was intoxicated. I dropped out basically in matric. I failed my matric because of that substance abuse because I started to go really off-road at the time and I was introduced to a lot of wrong friends that did those kinds of things. But when I look back, I don't blame those friends for being like a negative impact in my life. Because I had a choice in the matter.
Yeah.
And when I started to be on substance, I got involved with a lot of things. I had to maintain the hobby where I started to steal out of the house. I started to steal my mother's, money, and that looked normal to me. And I started to do certain things on the road, where I felt that I was the macho man at the time, and this was right in my eyes. And at the time, I got involved with a lot of gangsterism also, and there was different types of gangsterism, but because where I come from, I knew a lot of the gangsters, and to me it was like just basically I never wanted to become one, but I hanged out with a lot of them, yeah, and different types of gangsters, because to me it was just like this, the simple thing about, it was one guy depending on another guy. That is how I see gangsterism. See, yeah. So for me that is basically a coward's work to like fall under the protection of another person. So I never, introduce myself to a lot of those things where I wanted to like the tag, the chappy, like they call it.
Yes.
So I was just there, but I also didn't take the mark of that particular, gangster, you see. So after that, I got involved in stealing and I ended up in jail. And when I was in jail, I started to realize, my life reflected, and I said to myself, where I ended up, because I could start to see that friends wasn't really there for you, and I could see my mother running for me and visiting me, and at that time also my father never came to visit me,
yeah,
because he already showed me his love for me. And at that time I really loved my mother, because I could see what she was teaching me, even through the pain that she was going through, the abusive life that she, yeah, was going through with my father at the time. And then I said in that prison, I said to myself that if I come out of this place, then I want to change my life. But that was only the words also when you are in that place, you see.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
when I got out again, I got involved in a lot of things after that as well. And then I ended up, with two guys. They were breaking in a church, and I got involved in that, where I had a hand in that, where I started to break the church with them. And that is where I ended up basically in not in Paulsmoor, but at our local police station. And I can remember, when people used to preach on the streets, there's a scripture that came to my mind that says, "Roep vir my aan in die tyd van benoudheid."
Yeah.
And that was the thing that came to my mind when I was in the cells there. And I said to God at that time, "Lord, as jy sê jy is die God wat jy sê jy is,
yes,
ek weet jy gaan nie van my uit die ding uit kan haal nie. Because ek het dan opgekom teen in jou kerk en teen in jou mense."
Yeah.
And you know what? To my surprise, God came through for me.
Yes.
Where he showed me, I can take you out of this thing.
Yes.
But according to your word, what you're saying, you're going to serve me. Let's see if you can live up to your word.
Yeah.
And then when I was released, I couldn't deny what happened to me, because I had this assurance within me that basically told me that you know where you found yourself and you know the promise that you made to God.
Yes.
And that is where I basically started to change my life. I started to say, I don't want to live this life anymore. But I got out, and then I got involved with my brothers and stuff like that. And I started to do the substance again. But then afterwards, I walked into my beautiful wife, where I met her on a field standing with another girl. And I went past her on my way to a drug merchant at the time.
Mm.
And then while I came back, past her, I said to her, "Do you want to follow me?" And then she just followed me, you see. And that is where I was also amazed by, this woman that just followed me, and I just giving the instruction and she just follows. And that is where I started to look at her from a different point of view, where I didn't want it like to just, because in the drug world, you just use the woman, man. But I didn't have that desire just to use her, because I really felt that I needed to connect with this woman. And that is where the two of us started to end up, having a relationship as girlfriend and boyfriend at the time. But we basically did the drugs together,
mm-hmm,
you see. And after a while, she ended up in a shelter.
Yeah.
And where I went another way, I went back to my parents' place. But also, then she was introduced to Christ, right? And then
we'll get to her story.
Okay, okay.
But I know what
you
say.
My thing is, where I found Christ is basically when I decided to, I'm going to do this thing. And I'm going to see, as kan nie as swak ding wat met my gaan gebeur as ek die Here aanvaar.
Yes.
En toe ek die Here aanvaar in my lewe, die Here is 'n waarmaker van sy woord.
Amen.
En ek het kom besef dat ek het nie almal die antwoorde van die Bybel sê dat many are the plans in a man's heart, But the purpose of God shall prevail.
Amen.
And ek moet kom besef het in my lewe dat die Here het 'n plan vir my en het 'n purpose vir my, because he said, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. So basis, die Here het klaar vir my geken. So die Here ken vir my beter as wat ek myself ken.
Yes.
So daarom, die Here require van ons onsse gehoorsaamheid. En daarom het ek maar die Here begin volg. En toe ek die Here begin volg, alles het verander. My leefstyl het verander, my gedagtes het verander. Even my praat het verander, my wandel het ook begin verander.
So you ended up in the cell in Mitchell's Plain. You made a promise to God. God took you out. And from then onwards, you went back with your brothers. But the conviction was always there to serve the Lord.
Yes, I had a conviction.
But you didn't know Jesus yet.
I didn't know Jesus at that time.
So how did it happen that you accepted the Lord?
One day I went to where I now currently serve at Mount Hope, okay. Which is my family.
With Pastor Alfonso, yeah.
Yes. My spiritual father, yeah. I went there, and when I got to that church, I looked at this church from a different perspective, because Farana, my wife, she was there at the time in the recovery home, but I was there basically for myself,
yeah.
Right? And I wanted to change. I had a desire to change. Mm-hmm. But also, you could also pick up that people was thinking that I was there for her, but I was genuinely there for myself.
Yes.
And I can remember there was a life group service. And then at the time, there was the elder, it was Brother Ian, he was the life group leader at the time. Mm. And he asked for my mother if they can come keep like a house service at our home. And none of the people in my home served the Lord. And I can remember that day so clearly when I was standing there, I couldn't wait for him to say, is there anybody that wants to give? I couldn't wait for that, for that part of the service. And when he said it, I said, I'm the first one. I raised my hand and I looked at the rest of my family and I could see that this change that is already happening on the inside of me, because I had this burning desire within me to change, because I knew that if I take God at his word, right, then he will change my life radically.
Amen.
So that was just the beginning. So I thought when I accept Christ, things was going to change for me.
Now just hold that thought down now. Listeners, if you wonder who's talking, it's Andrew Rietmuller. His wife is also sitting here, and she's going to share her story also in a couple of minutes. But that was Andrew that shared his story up to the point where in his own home he received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And we'll continue with him after the song, which I think the song is so relevant because that's what he did. Crystal Swanson's going to sing for us, I Turn to You. But before we do so, I just want to encourage you to send a message of encouragement to Andrew and also to Farana. To 0617981075. I see already there's so many WhatsApps that came through. And Sister Sharika, thank you. You say, blessed evening in the studio. Just want to say thank you for your dedication and work for the kingdom. Thank you. It's only a privilege and a pleasure. So we also pray for your sons, Colin. Yes, we are taking note. You are tuned in from Crawford. Mark, thank you very much. Lydia, as ook ingeskakel. Dankie baie, thank you very much. Sister Sharik also want to send condolences to the family of the late Stacy. Lord, comfort them at this time. Yes, Lydia Jochems from Factory 10 is tuned in. Good evening, Pastor Daniels. We in Gavin and Karen. These a testament, like I like to share with you, 2 years ago. Okay, I'll take note of that. Hope you're well. The Kaczynski family, thank you. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Kaczynski, we'll pray for you. Sister Colleen, Evening, Pastor, God bless you from Dean. Thank you, Dean. Pastor FD, en die gasten daar in die studio, dat gaan weer een program wees waar die Heere weer sy deel goed gaan doen. Sy doel goed gaan doen. Baie dankie geseende aan. Denver, daie dankie vir dit. That's why I like the song, See What the Lord Has Done and the Goodness of God. Amen. Good evening, Pastor. Donil here. I'm tuned in from Rocklands. Donil Collins. Do you know her, Farana?
I surely do.
Please, will you say hello to her?
Hello, Donil.
Yes.
We send our love from the studio to you and Mr. Collins.
Yes, of course. Yes, so what's many WhatsApps. I think what we do is we play that song by Crystal Swanson and we'll be back. Crystal Swanson, I turn to you, and what a great song, especially after listening to Andrew, the first part of his sharing with us. At a point in his life, you know, there was no model or figure that he could really look up to, and also ended up in places that he never thought he would end up. But one night in his own house, he received the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the night when he turned to the Lord. That's why I think that song is so relevant, I Turn to You. So Andrew, you accepted the Lord in your own home, and then?
And then, Pastor Franco, I think everything after that wasn't so easy for me at the time, because it felt to me that the trials and tribulations was just piling up.
You see, if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, it's not all smooth sailing, because the devil is not happy. So those things will come, and that's why the Bible reminds us, in this world, you will have tribulations.
Amen.
You will have trials. But
Amen.
We thank God, the one that is within us is greater than he that is without. Please carry on.
Amen, amen. And that started to make sense after a while, because in the beginning, as the listener is listening, it will never be easy in the beginning, but when you start to take God or grab hold of God the way you're supposed to, right, then things will start to make clear. Because the Bible says that those who are led by the Spirit are the true sons and daughters of God. So basically, I didn't understand the scriptures, so I really prayed to God to really lead me into all truth. And the Bible says that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Because I basically started to live my life, and I thought it was about obtaining the material things and all those kinds of things, and coming to a place now in my life where I have it all together. But that doesn't consist of the things pertaining God. Those are all only the added things.
Yeah.
Because I had to get it straight and right with the foundation, because I still had a lot of past foundation which I built on. And God basically, as he said to Jeremiah, I've called you to uproot and to break down and to replant.
Sure.
So that is what God basically spoke to me at the time, to listen, there's a lot of things that I need to chisel away from your life at first, but you must allow me, because it's not about your ability, it's about your availability.
Amen.
And that is when I started to grab hold of God and started just to go hard after God, make time for the Lord, because I can't just say that I'm a follower of Christ if I'm not familiar about the things pertaining the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Because I had to familiarize myself, what does God says about me and what is required of me regarding him, because I had to go back where the scripture says, where they wanted to trick Jesus and say, which are the most important commandments? Because I've realized that in the past, our parents failed to instill the principle within our lives, so that the Bible says, raise a child. So we weren't raised these ways, so to understand the way of Christ. But that is why Christ could say to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees, he could say to them, listen, the most important commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. So that is basically my foundation where I live from nowadays. That is why also I can now replace what my father didn't do for us. I can replace and be that model, because God said, don't blame your father. Don't look down on him, because he also had it. He had a worse life himself, and he didn't understand what it was to come out of that life.
Yes.
Now that you are seeing, the Bible says you have eyes but you do not see, you have ears and do not hear.
Mm-hmm.
That is why I pray to God that my eyes of my understanding would open up, so that I can be that role model now to my kids.
Yes.
Because God is now giving us the opportunity to be that role model to our kids, and now you can model it at the best of your ability as how God wants you to be it. So now we need to be present parents, because I had a father, he was present, but he was absent in his role. So now we have the privilege now to do it God's way. And this is where I find myself now currently. So when I started to grab hold of God, I can say, look what the Lord has done. When you grab hold of the things pertaining the kingdom of God, because we must remember that Jesus says, as it is in heaven, so shall it be on the earth.
Yeah.
That is why we must promote the kingdom of heaven in the earth.
Yeah.
We have a life, yes. God says that we knows that you have a body, you need clothes and food, yeah, and all that. He knows about those things. But you must get the priorities right first.
Yes.
Because you can't expect God to give you $1 million, then you're going to run away from God because you do not understand the purpose of that $1 million. Because God gave us money for creativity. That was never for you to adapt or for you,
yeah,
to like rise, because that is when we divide ourselves.
And to make it your God.
Yes, to make it your God at the end of the day and follow the things of this life, because the flesh is always attached to this world. And that is why our flesh always wants to lead us astray. That is why it's important for us to understand what is required from us pertaining this great God that we serve. And that is why my eyes is on the Lord, okay, constantly.
So you, from then onwards, it was one-way ticket, and that was the Lord.
It was a one-way ticket, and I can really say, there's certain places that I go into where I don't speak about God, because my life must speak about God, because God says also in His Word, He says, it's not all those that says, "Hold a Lord, Lord," but those who does the will.
Yeah.
And that is a key that I want to leave to our listeners.
Yes.
Those who does the will of God, they will start to see the promises of God unfolding in their life. Because today I can say proudly that I am an entrepreneur. I work for myself today. I don't work for a boss or anything. And I can provide. I can be that provider for my family.
Yeah.
I can be that father as the protector, because God has given me now the wisdom, not worldly wisdom, wisdom that comes from above.
Mm.
The Bible says it is first of all, it is pure. Yeah. It's kind and it's loving heart. So we need to portray the characteristics of God. So at the end of the day, the Bible says we must bear good fruits, because by the bearing of fruits, people will be able to see the God in us.
Amen.
And that is basically my story, Pastor Francois.
Hey, wow, awesome, awesome. And we'll get back to the story as to how the two of you connected and became husband and wife. But for now, let's go with another song. Because Andrew, after you received the Lord, I was listening to Andrew preaching. I think, yes, Pastor Alfonso, your pulpit is in trouble. But nevertheless, thanks for what you shared in their lives, Pastor Alfonso, great,
yes,
man of God, and also the lady also. But you know what? A song comes to mind when you spoke now, and that is how God has delivered you and Farana.
Amen.
And now you can say with. And of course, that is Bethel Music with No Longer Slave to Sin. And of course, you listen to Andrew Rietmuller's story. And now God delivered him, and today he is no longer a slave to sin, but is serving the Lord together with his wife, Farana, who is in the studio, who will be sharing her story in a minute or two. But continue to stay tuned. And if you perhaps know that you need help, I'm going to pray a prayer later on. And I'm going to challenge you to commit your life to Jesus. But think about it. Where you are right now, maybe in drugs or wherever and whatever you do, in what type of abuse, substance abuse, whatever it is, God can deliver you like He delivered Andrew. And you will hear the story of Farana, how God has delivered them. But here's also something tonight on CCFM. You know, the home that Farana came through, there is a dinner the 21st of this month. And the home is called Hope Again, the recovery home there in Woodlands. Now, the dinner will be at Barron's Estate. And I'm putting this out there to you because I have got a ticket to give away, free. And if you and your partner want to come, you can get one ticket from me free. And you got to pay for your partner's ticket. Is that okay? So please listen, because I'm going to ask you a question. And then, of course, you got to, then I'll let you have the ticket. Okay. Yes. So the tickets will be $250. So you winning, you're going to win. I don't like to call the win. You're going to be blessed because we don't gamble. You're going to be blessed, but continue to stay tuned and listen. Right now, because I'm going to go now to Farana. Farana, warm welcome to you again.
Good evening, Pastor.
You've got to put that mic closer to you, to your mouth.
There we go.
And yeah, much closer, much closer, almost against your mouth. Was jy praat baie sag, man? Well, thank you that you came together with your husband.
What a great pleasure it is, Pastor.
And as it is, when I started, I said to Andrew, tell the listeners a little bit about BC, before Christ.
Yes.
Because people don't know. I know you shared sometime your story here, but yes, people forgot, and there's a lot of people that's tuned in now that don't know who's Farhana. They might have seen you somewhere, and I'll tell them later where they saw you, but if it's okay, but for now, Farhana, the mic is yours.
Amen. I greet you in the wonderful name of Jesus, that name that remains highly recommended. This evening, it's always a privilege to share what God has done and what He is busy doing still. Mm-hmm. When I think about the BC, as Pastor Francois said, it takes me back about 14 years back when I was slain to drug abuse, coming from a very staunch Islam family, not understanding who Jesus is, not knowing who Jesus is. This is before my drug abuse even, living a life of staunch Islam precepts.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up in that belief, that is all I knew. And later in the years when I, through the decisions I made in life, gone on to drug abuse when I was in matric in the year 2001, I started experimenting things.
Mm-hmm.
And through the wrong choices I've made, and don't get me wrong, I come out of a very, very good family. You know, despite the religion, despite the beliefs, the values that they have taught me through life, I still carry with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and those things I can carry to my children and they can carry to their children. And we also biblically, we are taught every day, you know, to impress it upon our children. And it's very important what we impress on our kids.
Yeah.
And so that very thing still is with me today, only in a different faith. And serving Christ. So, you know, being staunch Islam for 26 years and only knowing the things pertaining Muslim and being slain to drug abuse, I went very downward in life, downhill. Didn't have self-esteem. We lived in cars. We lived underground. We basically were dependent on one another, which was Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to speak about the former things before I met my husband, Andrew, but I'm going to speak about the experience when we were together. And when the day that I went to the shelter, and that was my turning point, Pastor, where I started cleaning the church. I started cleaning the church, not understanding the power of prayer.
Now, which church was this now? That
was at the shelter.
Okay, the shelter.
That was at Pastor Zofa at the Haven Shelter.
Okay.
That is in Woodlands.
Yes.
So there I was, a young girl at the age of 26, a mother of two, cleaning the church, not understanding the power of prayer, living a Muslim life.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow when I was cleaning the church, somehow there was some peace that came over me.
Yeah.
That was unexplainable. You know, when I think about it now, I can only say that is just God.
Yeah.
But in that time, I didn't understand the power of God.
Yeah.
And so started being introduced to devotion and all of these things. And the night when I gave my heart to the Lord, I said, when they introduced Jesus to me, I denied it. Went to my bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I acknowledged, I said, if this is the God that everyone says you are.
Yeah.
If you are Jesus who everyone says you are.
Yeah.
I need you.
Yeah.
That evening, fell asleep, intoxicated, Pastor. Still in my drug state, fell asleep. The very next morning, somebody, God sent, and God uses whosoever.
Yeah.
The very next morning, there was help at the gate of the shelter. It was a family member. She's no more with us.
Yeah.
But I'm grateful for God.
you know, for using her. And yeah. And that day she came to me and she said to me that I cannot see you living in the shelter. What has become from you?
Yes.
And I said to her, I need help. And you know, in your drug state and in the abuse that you inflict on your family when you are on drugs, your family tend to not believe what you are saying.
Yes.
You cannot blame them.
Trust is broken.
Trust is broken. And she said to me, "Can you need help us, JOC? I'll fill her help."
Yeah.
She left. She gave me something to eat. She left. The very next morning, she was there. She came to fetch me.
Mm.
She allowed me to freshen up because Pastor, it was most now long last freshen up.
Yeah.
In the state that we were living in.
Yes.
You know, didn't take care of yourself. And she took me to my cousin's home, freshened up, and from there they took me to Hope Again Recovery Home.
Mm-hmm.
And got introduced to Hope Again Recovery, but still not understanding Jesus,
yes.
Not understanding what I'm going through, not understanding that this is all orchestrated as part of His plan.
Yeah.
Following through because it's help that I need, that's all I thought. Going to Hope Again Recovery Home, coming there, they're giving me the program, and all I'm thinking is, I need help.
Yeah.
So now I need to find someone to look after my son.
Yeah.
And it's a hassle because my mom said, "Nee, sy gaan nie agter my kind kyk nie. I've chosen this life, so I need to sort myself out." And I go home back to the shelter the evening and I start praying again to this Jesus.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, if you answered me once, you can surely answer me again.
Yes.
And I said, "Jesus, you've heard the heartbeat today and I need help. I need to change." And A few days after that, my mom decided that she was going to take my son, which was Junaid at that time. She was going to eventually look after him while I go into the program. So now the outlying program starts, Pastor.
Yeah.
You know, and no self-esteem, coming in there, not understanding who I am, broken, have no meaning to life.
Yeah.
You know, and everything you hear is positive around you. You can only become positive with what you hear around you. But because you were slain to drug abuse and a different way of life, it's difficult to adapt to that measure of positivity.
Yeah.
Because all you know is hustle and grind when you were on the road. And when I was there, it was a completely new ball game. But it is all about a willing heart.
Yeah.
And then Hope Again, our client, we did it one day, then I go home, come back the next day, and it went on for 2 weeks until eventually I got booked in. And that is where God and the journey of Jesus started. And that was in the year 2009. Today, I look back, 2023, and God has been faithful.
Yeah.
Going into the home, not understanding the power of God, not understanding what He is all about, not understanding that this is His plan and His purpose for my life and for a better life. All I wanted to do was change.
Yeah.
But because His presence was so evident,
yeah.
I had the assurance that something was happening.
And that He is real.
And that He is real and that I've never ever felt something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember Andrew still asked me one day, "Farana, weet je wat het jy jouself ingekry voor?" And I looked at him and I said, "Come what may."
So you were saved at that time already?
Not yet,
not
Pastor.
Yet, okay.
Not yet, Pastor. And I looked at him and he said, "Weet je wat jy jouself ingekry voor?" And I said from Andrew, "Come what may. This that I feel is definitely the right feeling."
Yes.
Still not understanding who God is.
Yeah.
So now it is about me having to share who I have become in Christ.
Yeah.
So I rededicated my life to Christ when I came into the recovery home, because it happened at the shelter, yes. But I did not understand what being saved was all about. Came into the recovery home, and that is where the foundation of the word began.
Yes.
That is where Jesus made himself evident.
Yes.
That is where God showed up, and he's still showing up.
Amen.
And he just came to restore and renew and make something beautiful out of a mess. And being in the home and just reading, you know, I was so attached to the Mark, the Luke, and the Matthew.
Yeah.
And every morning when it was devotion, I used to share. And it was as if everything I was reading was a live miracle.
Yes.
Like it was happening in front of me.
Yes.
And all the people in recovery used to look at me as if, what is happening with me?
Yeah.
But it's because whatever I was reading was, I was moved with it, because I've never ever known something like this.
Yeah.
I've never ever felt something like this. The assurance of knowing that when I speak, you listen.
Yeah.
And it was that relationship that started developing in my life. And being in the recovery home for Pastor, it was for 6 months, but I had to stay for 8 months.
Yeah.
So 6 months was not enough for me. I felt like 6 months, I needed more time to work on myself and to work to become better at me.
Yes.
And obviously for going out there.
Yes.
So when I came out of the home, I started working. But Pastor, while I was in the home, this is where everything started, where God instructed me to call my mom one evening and tell my mom. He says to me, today you're at the crossroads of a blessing and a curse.
Uh-huh.
And I started adapting the method of fasting, because ek het mos nog groot geraak in die al die jare. So fasting was nie 'n probleem nie. So I started adapting to that life, and God started revealing things to me. And this one day, it was the day, the night, the afternoon before Ramadan.
Uh-huh.
The first day of Ramadan, which is tomorrow. And God says to me, today you're at the crossroads of a blessing and a curse.
Sure.
And that spirit just does not want to leave me. And God says, I need to call my mom. My mom needs to come in, and I need to say to her who I am in Christ. My mom, I speak to the house mother. The house mother calls my mom. My mom comes. I say to my mom that I have accepted Christ and I've made this decision to follow Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
My mom breaks down, and my mom says, you know what needs to happen right now. My words to my mom was, Mom, come what may, I need to do this.
Yeah.
Because when the Spirit tells you to do something, it will not leave your belly until it is done. And it was that moment, it was that interaction that was happening. And as soon as my mom left, I felt this load just subside.
Yes.
Went into the room and I prayed. And the very next week, the week after that, on my way to church, I said, Lord, that is done now. So now serving becomes a bit better because I'm in you. And I get hijacked on my way to church.
Wow.
By my family members. Well, I just get captured by my family members, not hijacked. But they got me and they took me to my grandma's house, where there was an imam waiting for me, or a sheikh waiting for me. And he started speaking the Islamic things that he taught me growing up as a child.
Mm.
And as before this happened, one evening I dreamt that I was busy putting something on my feet, but I did not understand what was happening. As I'm saying, I'm still getting to know Jesus. So as this imam is speaking to me, he's busy with his feet. And immediately it takes me to the dream that I had in the week. And all I start saying is, the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
The blood of Jesus. And this was one Sunday morning where I could feel the Holy Ghost around me.
Yeah.
I felt covered. I felt assured that Jesus was with me. I had all of my family members around me trying to tell me that the choice that I've made was wrong and I need to turn back to Islam and I do not need to disown my belief and all of this and all of that. And I just stood on the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
I stood firm and I said to them, you are taking me back to church. You are taking me back to service. I need to go back to service. Yeah. The imam said to me, and he went down to my family and he said to my family, his words was that it has gone too far. One of the things that they can do is just pray that one day I will return.
Yes.
And my prayer and my prayer when I walked back into the church was the assurance of Mount Hope KLCC that they were praying for me.
Sure.
That if they weren't there in the presence with me, but their prayers covered me.
Yes.
You know that warm assurance around you when you are covered with so much persecution for his name's sake, that this is, I need to get into the presence of God. And they took me back to church, Pastor Francois. They took me back to church because I was not moving from what I was saying.
Yeah.
And as I came into church service on that Sunday, the pastor, I can still remember it was Pastor Lester, he said, well, the service is done. And that was the message for the day, that you need to stand firm on the belief. You need to stand firm and trust in the Lord. And do not step down from your belief.
Yeah.
And so ever since then till now, we have been standing by the grace of God.
Amen.
We haven't been moved by any unbelief.
Yeah.
And we haven't served any foreign God. And we choose not to serve any foreign God.
Yeah.
And yeah, to the Mount Hope family, Pastor Francois, it is definitely a people you can do life with.
Yes.
I do not have the biological father and I do not have the biological mother or sisters or brothers or aunts, but the Mount Hope family has become all of that to us.
Yeah.
And we can say that we do not lack.
Amen.
God has overflowed with love and support and allowing us to grow deeper and deeper into the word.
Praise the Lord for
Amen.
That.
Amen.
You know what it was? The goodness of God.
Amen.
I'm going to go with that song. Bethel Music, Goodness of God, because the goodness of God was running after you.
Amen.
And then when we come back, we're going to conclude.
Yes.
And then we're going to pray. And yeah. You're listening to Bethel Music, Goodness of God. And while I put it a little bit on the background, that's what happened to Andrew and also to Farhana. The goodness of God, in spite of where they were in their lives, as you heard Farhana, sleeping in cars, sleeping in shelters, and how God delivered them, and she received the Lord, so did Andrew. And today, their husband and wife, with their kids, and they have their own home. And of course, you know, Farhana is working for Capitec. Can I say that? It's not advertising, but yeah, and God has been so tremendous. And as you have, Andrew has got his own business, he's a self-employed person, and God has just opened doors, and they got beautiful children. So you can quickly send a WhatsApp to encourage them before we go off air, because time has gone on to 7 minutes past 8 o'clock. Time goes so quick, but Farhana's got more to share quickly with us while we just put that song and fade that song of Bethel Music. So, Farhana, coming back to you, your relationship was broken with your family,
yes.
And they tried to persuade you that you've made the wrong choice.
Yeah.
But you decided that you'll stand firm on what you believe and what you did.
Yes.
And not long after that, of course, Andrew came.
Yes.
He received the Lord in his own house, and the two of you connected somehow. Tell us a little bit very quickly about that. And I mean, you were like couplings before.
We were together.
Doing your things together.
We were together in the world, as we name it, before Christ.
Yeah.
We were in the world together. And we, after getting saved, we got married. Mm-hmm. And even Mount Hope even organized the wedding.
Wow.
they were there. They were the people that you can call family to us at that time. And we will never forget that. We really cherish that moment. And we became one.
Yeah.
And from that moment on, it was God before us, the world behind us.
Okay.
But Pastor, it was very challenging. Still, we go through a lot of challenges, but what did Jesus do? That is the main focus. With coming back to my family, yes, because of the decision I've made and accepted Christ, obviously they decided to go a different way. But it took about 2 years after that decision that my mom started coming back into my life.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I have four adorable sisters. We are five girls, and we love each other a lot.
Okay.
We cherish each other. We take care of one another's well-being. And what I could never be as an elder sister, that is who I am now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm getting emotional.
Yes.
But God has a way of restoring, you know, what the locust has intended to take away.
Yeah.
And what the enemy has come to steal and to rob and to destroy you from, God is a way of mending all of that together.
Yes.
And so he surely has come to mend our family together. Sometimes I feel like they love Andrew more than me because he's just that person to them.
Yeah.
But he's the Buddha to them,
yeah.
I would say. And they can definitely see the fruits of our lives.
Wow.
When there's some advice they need, or if there's some guidance they need, or assistance with something,
mm-hmm.
despite the belief, they would call. They
yeah.
would make a call and request the assistance. So we are happy that we can still be of service in that area
yeah.
to our family, and just display the fruit of the fruits of the Spirit.
Yes, yes, yes. And they obviously, your life speaks volumes to them.
Amen.
The God that changed you.
Amen.
Amen. So
amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
And today you are married how long?
We are married for 14 years.
Wow, 14 years married and doing great.
Amen.
I was at the warm housewarming.
Amen.
God gave you your own home. That's another miracle. I know
amen,
the story.
Amen.
But that's for another time.
Yes.
Now, it is now 11 minutes past 8 o'clock.
Yes.
Final words to anybody that's listening right now. I'm giving you 2 minutes, Andrew.
So to everybody that is listening,
who's struggling with whatever.
Yeah, with whatever in your life. I want to say to you that when you keep your eyes focused on the Lord, He will surely make a way out for you. The mm-hmm. Bible says the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they try to trick Jesus by asking him a question to like find out whose image do you see on the coin.
Mm.
And then it says to them, bring the coin here. Whose face do you see on this coin? And then they said, it is Caesar's, it's Caesar's face. And then he said, give then to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give to God what belongs to God. I want to say to you, you were made in the image of God.
Yeah.
You were made in his likeness.
Yeah.
And the only way are you going to discover your identity
yes.
is in God.
Amen.
Everything outside of God is dead. You won't have life. That's why Jesus says, I have come to give you life and life in abundance.
Yeah.
So wherever you're looking right now, if it's not in God, it will not prosper.
Yeah.
So my encouragement to you is continue to walk in the ways of God. It's not going to be easy all the time. But remember, God is always preparing you for greatness, because everything is what it does in your life will be lined in eternity. Because one day, when we leave this earth, when we get to heaven, heaven mustn't be foreign to you, because the Bible says we are in this earth, but we are not from this earth.
Amen.
You are royalty, and you are special in the eyes of God. You are the apple of his eye. The Lord bless you.
Thank you, Andrew, for honor.
Amen. I want to encourage the listeners this evening that whatever the hardships is, whatever the struggle might be, I pray that And my heartbeat this evening is that as you listened in, that our story might have touched your heart, that our story might have given you a different way of experiencing or accepting hope.
Yeah.
And I pray that that hope will be in Christ Jesus, that you will find hope in Christ Jesus. I want to encourage you with John 1 verse 12. It says, to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. And my prayer is that we need to get to a point where we believe him and accept him so that he may give us the right to be called his children.
Amen.
So I pray that you will be blessed,
mm-hmm.
and that God before you and the world behind you.
Amen.
It is not easy, but with him, everything will prosper.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Farhana. Thank you so much, Andrew. Really, really. And if you're listening to us, friends, the challenge is there, of course, that you need Jesus, first of all.
Amen.
And if you want to do the same that Andrew and Farhana did, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one, no matter where you are today, he can deliver you. Mm. He can set you free. And then you can say, see what the Lord has done.
Mm.
And I'm looking at Farhana and looking at Andrew, and I can truly say, see what the Lord has done.
Amen.
If you're listening and you say, yes, yes, that's what I want, I'm going to pray a short prayer with you. Mm. You pray this prayer after me. Do it from a heart of sincerity and honesty. Mm. And receive the Lord Jesus tonight.
Amen.
As Lord and as Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight.
Yes.
For everyone that's tuned in, oh God.
Mm. Yes.
We thank you for the testimonies of Farhana and Andrew.
Yes. Mm.
And Lord, we pray right now that by your Spirit,
yes,
there will be conviction upon somebody that's listening.
Yes, yes, Lord.
And reach out to the Lord.
Mm.
And so, my friend, if you want to receive Jesus, this is the prayer you pray.
Yes.
You say, Dear Lord Jesus,
Dear Lord Jesus,
I come to you tonight.
I come to
a sinner that needs a Savior.
A sinner that needs a Savior.
I thank you that you died on the cross of Calvary.
I thank you that you died on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
Of every sin that I've committed.
Of every sin that I've committed.
I receive you now.
I receive you as Savior. As Savior.
And also as Lord.
And also as
Lord. Of my life. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Come into my heart. Come in today.
Come into my heart.
Come into my
heart. Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. If you pray that prayer, you know what the Bible says? There's rejoicing amongst the angels of God in heaven over one sinner that comes to repentance. And if you pray that prayer, there's rejoicing. But Andrew, Farhana, myself, and many others that are tuned in, they would also like to rejoice with you. So very quickly, will you please send me a WhatsApp? Start your WhatsApp with the letter A and your name. And that will indicate that you pray that prayer to receive Jesus tonight.
Amen.
Maybe you recommitted your life to the Lord.
Yes.
Start your WhatsApp with the letter B. Pray and B and your name. That will indicate that you have recommitted your life to the Lord. And while you do that, let me read a WhatsApp quickly from Brother Bruce Ralston that says, John 7:38. Will you read it? Can you read it?
Yes, I can.
Thank you.
John 7 verse 38, it says, whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within me. The Lord wants you to be alive from the inside out. He wants his life, the life of God, to be alive within you. As you believe in him, this life can begin to flow like a river. His living water can come and bring new life to your heart and soul.
Isn't that powerful?
Wow.
Eh?
Beautiful. Mm.
And that's exactly what happened to you.
Absolutely.
That's happened to me at the age of 19 years old.
Amen.
And 19 years old.
Rivers of living water.
So thank you so much. We're waiting on that WhatsApp before we close. But as I said, I've got Farhana is very, very burdened also, I know, with helping out, because at the moment we've got 14 clients.
Yes.
I think 14 clients at the Hope Again Recovery Home. And to offset cost, to keep them going, we're having that dinner the 21st of this month at Barron's Estate. And the tickets are 250 rand.
Mm.
Now, I said I've got one ticket for free. Next week I'll have another one. But if you want a ticket, please, I need for you to send in a WhatsApp very quickly and say what is the lady's name that shared her story tonight. The first one to do that, that will be yours. Obviously, you'll have to pay then for your partner's ticket. Do it quickly on 061-798-1075. And if you're interested to support this great ministry that was instrumental in changing their lives, you can call the office tomorrow on 021-371-7323, because we have still got a couple of tickets left that we'd like to you know, for people to support. You can contact the office. Cecilia will be there. And you can say you are interested to support. Maybe you can't go, but you would like to sponsor a ticket to somebody. Phone her. You can even phone me. I'm giving you my phone number now. That's dangerous because I am involved there. It's 082-385-3101. But for now, for that one ticket that I've got for you, 061-798-1075. Don't forget to send me if you pray that prayer to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And whatever you do, when you send it, you can actually just put on your name, and maybe at the back of that you can say for I'm assuming the lady's name that that we interviewed tonight. But as I said, looking at them, see what the Lord has done. And this song I especially dedicate also to my wife. And speaking of my wife, she and myself, we'd like to just congratulate Sister Africa again on her 80th birthday.
Wow.
That we celebrated with her on Saturday. And what a beautiful birthday that was. And we say thank you for your testimony, dear sister. Thank you so much for your testimony, Sister Denise Africa, for the beautiful testimonies that people could share, for your dedication and your love for the Lord and for others. Thank you, Sister Denise Africa. And everybody else that had a birthday, our brother Leon Philander, brother Michael Flores, brother Henry Galland, all of you, God bless you. See what the Lord has done. And when we come back, we'll wrap up. And I'm waiting on that WhatsApps. Amen. See what the Lord has done. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. And Farana, you know, and Andrew Donovan says, I received Jesus tonight. Somebody whose cell number ends on 6925 says, I recommitted my life to the Lord. Allison says, I recommitted my life to the Lord. Colleen says, I received Jesus. Ryan says, I received Jesus tonight. And Sister Lynn says, wow, wow, what a mighty God we serve. Thank you for sharing your powerful testimony. All may change, but the promise that God is upon our lives can never be changed. Wonderful Jesus. Amen. Psalm 28. Psalm 23, verse 4. Praise the Heere for the wonderlijke getuienis van Reggie en Barba van Woodlands. Barbie, daar sê, God bless your guest. God bless you always. You made the right decision of accepting Jesus into your life. Praise God. Bless you always. Amen and amen. My sister and brother, the choice was a splendid and most definitely a golden decision. It is a life unspeakable praise to God. All blessings on you and your family from Joshua. There's so many, Lavona. I'm sorry I won't be able to read everything, because I need your powerful testimony, encouraging testimony, says Lavona. We'll keep your family in prayer and speak the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you so much. Janine says, I am so touched and blessed by the testimonies of both my sister and brother in the studio with you. Thank you so much. Quite a lengthy one, but thank you very much for that. Yeah, Nolene, thank you so much. Marillion says, I receive Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Dean, thank you so much. I need to just get back to make a very special announcement. And we had so many. We're gonna just draw a name. And of course, But before I do so, I think there's somebody that Farana would like to say thank you for listening tonight. And she loves you very, very much. Wafika. God bless you. God bless you abundantly. And that comes from your sister, Farana. Amen. And amen. See what the Lord has done. It is no secret what God can do. What is done for others, He can do for you. Yeah. Farana, I'm going to give you the opportunity to call out the name of the person that has been blessed with a ticket to come to the dinner the 21st. And next week, I'll be having two of the residents that's presently in the system, and that is Joshua Davids and Severano Anderson. They will come in next Tuesday and share their story, and we'll have another ticket or two to give away. 250, 21st, please support. If you can't come, please, won't you sponsor a ticket? We need your help for this amazing work. You've heard the amazing testimonies, especially of Farana that was in the home, and now God has set her free. And today, hulle is 'n pragtige couple, man, met hulle kinders. Yeah. Yeah. So, time has gone on to 28 minutes. I need to pray, but before we pray, Farana, would you like to read out the name of the person that has been blessed with a ticket? Where is it now? Where is it now? This thing is jumping because of, you know, I think it was somebody with a surname of Neyman, Charlene, I think. Will you please?
We'd like to congratulate Charlene Neyman on the ticket that Pastor Francois is sponsoring.
Yeah.
We're not going to say it's a gift.
Yes.
But it's a sponsor. We are looking forward to seeing you that evening at Barron's. Come and show up. Dress yourself up.
Come meet Farana.
Come have and dine and eat lots of good food on that evening. We're looking forward to seeing you, Charlene Neyman.
Neyman. I think. And if you know, if you want to support and you would like to have a ticket of your own, you listening to us tonight, 082-385-3101. You can contact that number. And we'll do the relevant necessary things. Or you can contact the office tomorrow, 021-371-7323. We really would love for you to join us on that Friday night and have a blessed time. Amen and amen. Time has gone on to 8:30, and I'll just pray. Father, we thank you tonight.
Yes, Lord.
We honor you. We glorify your name. At the beginning, we've asked, O God, that you'll bless us tonight through the airwaves.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you that you've saved souls and people recommitted their lives thank back you, to Jesus. You. We say to God, be the glory.
Yes.
Great things you have done. And now, Father, we bring every prayer request that came through on the WhatsApp line.
Yes, ma'am.
You know there's different needs. You know every detail.
Yes, ma'am.
And we pray that you'll meet people at the point of their need for your honor and for your glory, O Father. Bless everyone that's tuned in tonight. We pray in Jesus' name that you'll meet everyone and have blessed them throughout this week.
Yes.
Even our children that's on holiday, O God, we specially pray for them that you'll keep them safe through this holidays, O Father, that your name be glorified. Separate us now with your love and your blessing in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen and amen. Farana and Andrew, I just want to say thanks again for coming. And God bless you together with your family.
Thank
we
you.
We indeed have been so blessed and privileged. If I had to go through all the WhatsApps, then I know we really wouldn't have enough time. But for now, we'll have to go to the Afrikaans for the last half an hour. Goeienaand luisteraars, die Here se seëning.